Good morning.
Good morning.
It is finished. I got rid of it. I mean, I sacrificed it. No, it feels great. It was time. Some of you may ask, why, Daniel, why did you cut your hair? Thank you. Yeah, it was 2020. I definitely felt suckered in. Because it's like a new year, it's a new decade. It's like, it's a new me! And so I just went, and what's his name? Jordan Dick. Brendan Dick's brother. Man, if you want to hear it, ladies probably too, I imagine. Cuts ladies' hair. Really good. Really awesome. Unisex St. Vital. He does a great job, and he's a really nice guy. So, yeah, little update, I guess. I think that was part of the agenda too. Roger and I were in Little Grand Rapids last weekend, and some of you saw the Facebook posts. I would post as soon as I got like near Wi-Fi or something. I try to get a couple pictures up, but we drove all the way up there. We went on the ice roads, which is like they have documentaries about this stuff. It's obviously played up like it's like I don't know. It's just a drive where you have to be careful. Like, it's not crazy, but if you watch the Ice Road show, you think you're fighting off polar bears with, like, one arm and an axe or something. Like, not quite like that. But there's absolutely danger. One of the people who went up, we didn't know them, but they were going up the night before, and they smashed head-on into a semi-truck. And that's the scary part, because there's, like, hairpin turns, and you're literally driving over beaver dams. It's like, slow down, these little orange flags, and it's like, yeah, this is a beaver dam, and you just drive over it, and you see the beaver's hut there, and whatever, everything's frozen, so it doesn't matter. It's pretty fun, and the worst thing about it is the truckers, though, is these huge 18-wheelers with sometimes loaded, sometimes nothing, but they just go flying, because they're trying to make time. They want to get there in the morning and get back in the afternoon, and so it's an adventure getting out there. And so luckily we were obviously blessed with a truck to use from Ron Lepke, was it? Ron Lepke? Yeah, yeah, Ron Lepke, really, he blessed us with a 4x4, big old brand new F-150 we rented from Enterprise, which helped us get up there, because that would have really been torture to go up there in a little minivan or Dodge Journey or something. It just wouldn't have been. But I mean, it's funny because it's like, the people who live up there, they're driving cars, they're driving little suburban, and they're just going for it, eh? It's just insane. It's just a completely different culture. It's crazy. But yeah, the week before that, I was involved with going at Rock Lake, Tyler Amell, the whole ministry there. What did we do? Sorry, guys. It's just like, man. Marriage retreat. Who said that? Yeah. Thank you, my administrator. Marriage retreat. Yeah, we did a marriage retreat up there, and it was awesome. It was fun. There was a bunch of couples came up, and we got to experience, it was intimacy with one another prophetically, relating that to male and female stuff, and just talking about how God designed intimacy, and we want to steward that kind of thing. And obviously we have, I thought it was on the wall. It's out there. Okay, I was thinking it was in here. We've got that new mission statement. This is embarrassing. I don't even have it here. Dying off by heart? Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, our mission is to see the church family transformed by intimacy with Jesus in order to reflect him to all people. That's probably one of the best mission statements I've ever seen for a church. That just sums it up really well. It makes things really clear. It shows where we're going. It shows what our intentions are. And, yeah, that's really what it's about. And so these last few weeks, if you've been here, this is what we've kind of been talking about. This is what we've been building upon. Crystal and Dan and myself have done the last few weeks. I'll tell stories of Little Grand Rapids as we're going. That'll be fun. We are stepping into a greater role in ministry across Canada. We're moving into different spheres. We're being invited to different places. And so we are starting to take a step forward into growing our ministry. I've got a manual slash book that I'm writing. We're building a website and creating content. We're planning a trip to Mexico next winter. Not a vacation, but it'll be nice because it won't be minus 40. A whole bunch of things going on. And if you would like to be updated, with what we're doing and you want to partner with us and prayerfully or financially or otherwise, sign up on this list and you will get all the updates and emails. We'll pass that around only if you feel drawn to support what we're doing, if we've been a blessing to you guys. But yeah, I talked it over with leadership and we really had an amazing heart to heart about stepping over into a new territory. And you may not think that Daniel needs to do that, but there's a whole bunch of stuff in my own mind and heart that I need to press past and step into the fullness of what God's been calling us into. And so, we're going to get into it today. You guys ready?
Yeah.
You said you were ready last time and we talked about some stuff. Okay. No, this one's going to be way easier. This one's way more tame. At least my notes are. We'll see what happens. So, yeah, thank you all for your support and for your encouragement. And it really means a lot. It really just, like, boosts our hearts as we're going out doing this stuff. Because there's obviously the unknown that you face in all different circumstances and in all a whole bunch of different ways. And knowing that you guys are behind us is absolutely huge. And I cannot thank you enough, seriously. It is like gasoline in the tank. Thank you. But yeah, we drove up to Grand Rapids, and if you've never worked with like the Aboriginal culture, it's like way different. People there are just completely, it's like island life. Who's heard of like island life? Like, we love time. We're like, let's schedule it 10 o'clock. It's going to go to 10:19, 10:20. We're going to get into the van. We're going to walk. And they're like, yeah, it starts at 6:30, but you know, it starts at 7:30. And people only start showing up at like maybe, like it's just completely different culture, completely different relational thing. And we went up there and we got to do a radio show, which was awesome. We thought we were going to be holding a morning service on Sunday, but they're like, nah, no one comes to the morning services, so you'll reach more people if we just put you on the radio. So we did a 2-hour live radio broadcast with music and all this stuff, which went out to the whole little Grand Rapids area. There's a bunch of other towns. I cannot pronounce their names, so I'm not going to try. But yeah, lots of fun, man. Lots of fun. A lot of people actually ended up coming to the meetings because they heard us on the radio, which was awesome. And just bringing the message of grace and truth and life in Jesus Christ that he brings. Because there's so much, like the reserves have so much, they have so many of their own troubles just because they're so removed and the isolation and there's not always jobs. There's problems with that. And then there's also problems with guilt and shame and condemnation and stuff like that too. So it can just be a shame game. And so it was awesome to have the opportunity to go up and do that. But today, you know, and this is, we'll start the story with this. After one of the services, because we showed up and there was some people from Winnipeg were leading services. We showed up and this kid needed a ride back to his house. And so he asked me if he could jump in. I was like, yeah, sure. And so I started talking to him and I was like, what's going on? Like, how are you doing? How are you enjoying things? What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. Just straightforward stuff. And he's like, yeah, my name's blah. And, you know, I don't really believe, or I'm not really a Christian. I wouldn't call myself a Christian, but I believe this stuff. I was like, he's a young guy. It's like maybe 16. It's like, would you care to explain what you mean? You believe all this, you believe everything, but you're not a Christian. And he's like, you know, I just can't call myself a Christian because like every time I try being a Christian, I just fail. I just keep failing and I just don't want to fail anymore. So I'm not a Christian, but I believe it. Ouch, man. That's like the whole point. Because you can't. And it's so, like, talking about intimacy, you have to be so careful because we can't create this new list of things that you need to do to be okay with God. We can't make a new law out of the new covenant. It's like, it's really easy to happen because what we do is where it's like, oh, well, now we're in Christ. Now we don't have an excuse to fail. And if we have an excuse, it's because you're not doing ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. It's like, oh, easy, man. You can't run away on that train too quick because it's going to crash just like the whole law of Moses crashed, just like the whole everything, just like anything that relies on your human effort or your human output and what you need to do to accomplish or to maintain is going to be a train wreck. And that's what this kid was experiencing because Christianity to him was a law. right? It was a law. I can't do it good enough. So I guess I can't be a Christian, but I believe all the stuff. Someone gave him a list along the way. Or he created one. Sometimes we do that ourselves. It's not that I'm not criticizing anything. But he got a list eventually, somewhere in there. He got a list of these things that he needs to do to be okay with God. And it completely crushed intimacy with him. His heart was crying out. He obviously wanted it. He obviously had an encounter. He obviously knew who God was. But he also had a list. And Paul talks about that extensively in Scripture. You cannot have a list and have Jesus. Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. That's a new book that's out. It's really good. It's really short and sweet. It's just like, boom. Jesus plus nothing. What the Pharisees and what all these, the circumcision party, not a party you want to be invited to. That's what the Bible calls it, the circumcision party. That doesn't sound like a party. They would go around and they'd say, yeah, Jesus is great, but you guys, it's like, you gotta get your hair cut, you know. You gotta make sure you don't have earrings. You gotta do, like, blah, blah, blah. They would bring people back into these requirements in this list. And so these people had this great love and this experience for Jesus. But the circumcision party would come and just totally wreck intimacy and put expectations. And the whole message of the gospel, it's like, man, kid, I just wanted to yell at him. And I was like, you're lucky, man. You're lucky. Come tomorrow night. I'm speaking. We're gonna talk about this exact thing. And we did. He came up and he got prayer afterwards. We saw a couple people heal the stuff. It was hilarious because they don't even believe it in the moment. I don't know. I don't know how all the culture works, but called people up if they had a knee injury. Finally, this one guy is like, nyeh. So he comes up and I got somebody else with a knee injury to pray for him. And then he got healed. And then the guy who got healed prayed for the other guy. And then he got healed. And it was just amazing, man. Like, the Spirit of God shows up. Because we have to keep, like, we have to stand on righteousness being a gift. Righteousness being a gift. Righteousness being a gift. It's a gift. It's given to you freely. So, bad situation, right? Adam and Eve, they're created in God's image. They're innocent. They're pure. Satan comes, tempts them, eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. Kind of true, kind of not, mostly not. They eat it, complete devastation, chaos. Fast forward to today, and it's just, the world's insane, right? So what is God's plan? What does he do? Like, God's answer to chaos. What's his answer? Love, he gives. For God so loved that he gave. So the chaos wasn't really the issue. Like, it was crazy, but God, it wasn't like stopping him from doing something, right? His response to chaos, destruction, murder, rape, all the stuff was to love. We're going to explore why. Why was his response to love? Why was it to give? Why was it to self-sacrificially give? Like, he didn't just like, hey, give me a high five. Like, he put on what was killing us and took it to the cross. So God's response to chaos is to respond in love. And you know, there's so much we can learn. And we've talked about this before. I think I've done a message on it. But Mark chapter 4, the whole principle of the seed, of growing, of dying, of being under the ground and coming up, not really knowing how, but eventually producing fruit. And every seed reproduces after its own kind, right? So when God was going to plant a seed in the world, he planted a love seed. Because if God planted a judgment seed, if God planted a condemnation seed, if God planted all these other seeds, what's he going to get from that? Judgment, condemnation, guilt, shame. Which the law did. The law was brought to point out sin, obviously. And that was for a time. But ultimately, it was to lead people to Jesus. So, love and mercy facilitate, it's awesome, guys. Love and mercy actually facilitate a response of love and mercy. When you are loving, it actually plants a seed that will produce fruit one day, is what the Bible tells us. Love never fails. That's what it's saying. Love will never fail to get a yield for its input. Doesn't mean everything's going to work out perfectly for you. But in Romans 5 verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So what was God's chosen response to address the chaos in the world, to love it self-sacrificially at his own cost. In doing so, he sowed the seed of love into the earth, his own son. When a seed is buried, it goes into the ground and dies, but it springs again to life and produces 30, 60, and 100-fold. So yesterday, this worked out really well. Well, it was unfortunate, but it worked out really well. My daughter and all my kids, we went to the dollar store. You know you can get balloons there, and they'll fill them up with helium for $1.50. And you know how much joy balloons bring kids? It's like crazy. So we did that. I actually was just going to buy them balloons, and the woman's like, you want me to fill them up? She's like, yeah. So she fills them up. My kids have these balloons. They're pumped, and the joy of a balloon is often short-lived. More often than not, we hadn't been home 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Pop! It's so funny because my wife and I, this happens all the time. We'll be in another room and all of a sudden you hear pop! And then there's silence for like 3 seconds. And then it's like the crying starts. Pop! Like that happens so many times in our house, I can hear it in my own head. But my daughter popped her balloon. And I was consoling her, and my son was sitting there, and he was watching, and it makes me want to cry even thinking about it. And then my son, out of his own volition, I didn't eyeball him, I didn't give him the whole, like, come on. Like, he just said, oh, I'll give her my balloon. And I was just like, and that wasn't the end of it. So he legitimately gives my daughter his balloon. And he's like, oh, and so we're asking, like, what spurred that? And he's like, oh, I just felt sad in my heart that she was sad. And then I was like, Hildy, how does that make your heart feel? And she's like, oh, it feels great. And then Bo's like just beaming, eh? You know what Hildy did? She immediately ran to her bedroom and got a stuffed animal and brought it and gave it to Bo. She's like, I know Bo really likes this one and it's mine, but I'm going to give it to him to have forever. And it's like, do you see what happened? Like a seed was planted. Bo planted generosity, and Hildy's immediate heart response was to be generous in return. Like when the Bible says that God loved us, if we're not walking in complete deception and haven't been hardened by abuse, which is a strategy of the enemy, our natural heart response is to do the same. It's natural to respond in like kind, because a seed produces after its own kind. You know, there's nothing in Scripture that says you must do to become. It's always in the context of God did it first. So, let's see here. John 13, verse 34. Even the commands, man. A new command I give to you, love one another. Right? But if we look at it in context, he says, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So what happens first? They're loved. What's the response that Jesus is like, guys, like this is what happens. I love you. I set the standard. I go first. Your heart responds. God never asks you to give, and he's not the one who first gave. Like it's... It's absolutely insane. It always starts with his love. And so God, understanding this whole system of life on this earth, where you put something in the ground and it dies, and it comes up and it produces fruit, where you plant a seed. Like, and the crazy thing is, it's absolutely insane when you start seeing this, because you start seeing it everywhere. Intimacy is the means by which we are to produce fruit. Okay? So think very practically with me. A man and a woman. Right? A man and a woman come together in intimacy. A seed is transferred and it produces fruit. Produces offspring. My son sowed a seed of generosity. It went in and it immediately, because Hildy's heart conditions were good, immediately it sprung up and the result was generosity. A farmer... is intimate with the field in that he pays attention to it. He cares for it. He knows it. He monitors it. He looks for weeds. He picks them out. He makes sure it's clear. He takes care of the soil. He puts whatever animal poo in there to make it nice. And then a seed is transferred. And then a seed gives birth, right? And then it multiplies over and over and over and over and over again. That's really the system of the world. And it's actually quite amazing because our children are all there. I think I've said this before, but they're literally to be the offspring of like intimacy and love. Like they're produced in love. They're little seeds of love. That's the coolest way God could have ever made creation for us to take part in creating babies was that it was through love. Isn't that special? Like he's saying something there. God is intimate with the world in that he knows the world and he sees the world and he loves the world. So God planted the seed of his son in the world in love. Then that seed died, but when it came back to life, it's still producing today. So we have, like I said at the beginning, we have to be really careful when we're talking about intimacy with Jesus because it can become such a work again where it's like, okay, now you need to read 3 Bible verses, make sure there's tears, work them up good, cry a little bit, put some Hillsong on, you know? Like we start doing that, it's just going to get weird, man. Like honestly, the biggest, just speaking from my own life, like I tried following the rules and I did a pretty good job. I did a lot of things, but my heart condition was still so decrepit and guilty and ashamed. Just like this kid at Little Grand Rapids was so, he was trying, he believed, his heart was enticed, but this list came and he had to start doing all these things to maintain what was given to him as a gift. Paul criticizes the Galatians. He's like, you fools, are you trying to finish in the flesh what you started in the spirit? Like, are you trying to finish what you were, like you received it as a gift and now you're trying to like force it? What are you doing? You're going to kill the seed. And so for my own life, things really transformed for me, man, because I was trying so hard. I was trying so hard to do good. I was trying so hard to have the right attitudes. I was trying so hard to make everything fit and to take all the right steps and to follow God and to do it all right. And what I didn't realize, okay, because there's another thing. We cannot make this huge separation between us and God. Like you, the real you, doesn't exist apart from him. Anything that we say is me outside of God is a dead lie. It's a shadow. It's not real. Because God's intention for you is what truth is, right? God intended for you to always walk in relationship with him, to always be filled with his spirit, and to operate in that way. And if that's not happening, you're not actually being you. Because sometimes we say, oh, I'm going to try something out of my own strength. That's not you. You guys following a little bit? Like what Jesus did is he came and he revealed the truth about us, who we are in him. The truth about what God the Father's intention was for mankind. So we have this picture of, where was I going with that? Where Jesus comes, he's planted into the earth, he dies, he springs forth, and then all of us come and we're like, wow, this is amazing, that sure looks good. We're drawn in, it's a gift, okay, awesome, I'm in. And then what can happen, especially in our Western culture, is we'll say, well, the honeymoon's over now. I've said that to people, man. I've said that to people, the honeymoon's over. You know, you come to Jesus, you get the tingles. You shake a little bit during worship time. You start feeling real emotional. You cry real easy. And a few months go by and you start judging yourself like, oh, I haven't cried in a little while. Oh, I'm wondering if, wow, maybe it's just my heart's hard. And you start condemning yourself and you start getting these lists, man. We just do it. Like it's very natural for us to try and problem solve in this stuff. And what Jesus is trying to show us is God did everything. The finished work of Christ. The finished message, right? We all know that terminology. I was trying so hard for so long. And then he taught me, stop looking at yourself. So what I started doing was I would, and man, you guys know this. I've talked about this so much. What I started doing was I would be walking and whatever, I would slip or I would fail. I'd start saying to myself, Jesus, man, I just thank you so much that you loved me even when I was a sinner. God, you showed your love for me than this, that before I was saved, before I believed, before I knew anything, you sent Jesus to die. That just shows me how valuable you are. And we talk about sowing seeds. We talk about planting the word of God. Like, what's he say? We talk about being humble. We talk about being obedient. What are we being obedient to? What are we being humble to? We're being humble to what God says is true. Right? It's like, oh, I don't want to give $5. Well, that's not what he's asking. He's saying, are you going to give up this idea that you have any existence apart from me? Are you going to give up this whole idea that you're unlovable? Like I died. Why don't you surrender? Why don't you be humble and be obedient and stop believing that? We oftentimes obedience and obeying and doing God's will is painted in this picture of like, well, this is all the stuff I don't want to do, but I'm going to do it because God said so. It's like, we don't understand what sin is then. Like, okay, so there's this movie, it's called Ashlad and the Hall of the Mountain King, I think. I don't know. The name is weird. Ashlad, right? Right? I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. It's on Amazon Prime. But there's this one scene in the movie. So it's this adventure movie, and these guys are going through this magical world, and there's a troll, and they gotta kill him, and blah, 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 blah. But there's this one scene where there's these witches. Well, they walk through these, like, caves, and they show up to this area, and there's this table, and it's got, I don't even think they were trying to do it. It's just amazing. There's this table, and it's, like, got tons of food on it. And the people, the characters are like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. This is table in the woods with food. Woohoo! And so they like start eating it and they start drinking it. And they're like, yes, this is awesome. Supplements. And so all of a sudden these beautiful women come out and they walk up and they're like loving on them and dancing with them and taking part in what they're doing. And they're like feeding them grapes. And they're just like, oh, where are we? It's been so hard. This is awesome. But then one of the guys shows up who didn't eat from the table. And it turns out these three beautiful women are actually like half-rotting corpses of witches. And the food they're feeding them is like rotten and full of maggots. And it's just disgusting. And so in these guys' heads, they have this perception that they're free. And they're living with these beautiful women in the forest and they're eating these delicacies. And they have this delusional belief system in their head. And anyone outside of it is watching and they're like, oh my God, that is disgusting. What are they doing? It's like when you get set free from sin, when you start getting God's heart, when you start understanding what he's done, you don't look at that stuff the same, man. Like, that's where like words like obedience, it's like, okay, that like, obey, okay, well, you might as well just tell me not to walk into a fire pit. Okay. Like, no, I get it. Fire burns. That's a witch feeding you maggots. That's not, like, pornography is a witch feeding you maggots, guys. It's gross. It's actually sapping life and stealing from you. It's actually robbing you of your strength. All the stuff in Proverbs that talks about the adulteress and the prostitute, that all applies to pornography because it's made to steal from you. When you realize that this person you think you're being intimate with is actually robbing you of your strength, it starts losing its appeal. So these guys in the movie, all of a sudden, like, I don't remember exactly how it happens, but they start coming to and they're like, they start having flashes of like, all of a sudden, it's like a beautiful woman, then it's a witch. And then they're like, whoop. Because when they start seeing reality based on what God says is true, it changes how they walk. And they don't want to hug that, that beautiful woman anymore when they start knowing the truth about her. And so intimacy with Jesus, guys, like, intimacy with Jesus is believing what God has said about me is true. You know, theology is intimacy with God, studying the Bible, studying scripture, knowledge, understanding, right? Like, did you just have intimacy? What is the definition of intimacy? I think I wrote it down. Close familiarity or friendship is the Webster's dictionary. Close familiarity or friendship. Like, God has known us and he's drawn close to us. And we're learning and we're starting to grow into who he is and what he's done and how much he loves us. And so it's not this list of like things you got to do to impress Jesus more or things you have to do to try and accomplish something. Like, I'll say this and then I'll start closing. I'm next week too. I realize that. I'm building for next week, okay? If you start backsliding in your life, I bet it's because someone gave you a list. Because what do we see in Scripture? What's the fruit of being loved? Love. So if you want to love, you got to believe you're loved. God is always the initiator, every single time. This kid, right? Little Grand Rapids kid, he needed to understand God's love for him. He didn't need another altar call and a prayer. He needed to believe because the truth sets you free, right? We need to know what God actually thinks about us. We need to understand, because if we don't, we might be making out with a witch. Okay, that, you like those visuals? Just get that in your head. It's gross. It's not like it totally changes. When I started realizing, man, I'm like him. Like, he put his heart in me. And if I start having these weird desires, I go, God, okay, I don't see that in Scripture. I don't see Jesus doing that. What's the perspective here? Oh, the strategy is to rob me of my strength. The strategy is to pervert what I think intimacy really is. Why is sex so under attack in our culture, in our age? There's a strategy behind that. It's no mistake. It's very intentional because it's intimacy. Because the whole world, the whole spiritual world, everything knows that what you're intimate with will produce fruit after its kind. Everything knows that. The devil knows that. And he's tricked us into being intimate with him. And he plants his seed and you start producing unrighteousness. That's exactly what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. God says your seed and his seed will be at enmity with one another. Well, what's the seed of the devil? Carnal mind that doesn't trust or believe that God is good. And why would the devil crush the serpent's head? Or why would Jesus, the seed of the woman, crush the serpent's head? Because Jesus would be God's final once for all. I am good and I love these people. And I'm going to prove it by dying. There's no going back from that. He's shown it. He's shown his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God, have I made mistakes? God, have I screwed up? I've done so many stupid things, so many things I wish I had never done. But Jesus tells me, man, and you feel the grief of that in your own heart. If you start feeling that pain a little bit, the crazy thing is, man, you will never answer for that. Your worst day. And Jesus is going to stand there and you might even be thinking about it right now. And he's not even on the same page as you. He's like, that's exactly why I came. He takes your hands and he pulls you in close. What do you mean you're not doing enough? Like, that's the guy, that's how he responds to my greatest failure. He pulls me in. And he pays for it, and he doesn't even mention it. He'll never mention it again. And that's the fight of faith, is believing that that's true in the face of everything else, and allowing that truth, and allowing that reality, and allowing that seed to be planted in me. And God, even though I don't feel it, even though I have the vivid memories of all those horrible things I've done, Jesus, I'm thanking you. I'm trusting your word. I'm going to let that fruit be produced in my life, God, because you have loved me. And if I was blah, 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 all the stuff, right? That's the fight. That's what we're pressing in for, man. The devil wants to rob you of that truth. Can't be that simple. This boy couldn't believe it. It couldn't be that simple. I have to do all this stuff. I can't do it. I'm not a Christian, but I believe. He's an unbelieving believer. Right? It's crazy. So we'll end there for now, until next week. Like, God knows how to produce. Like, God's a good farmer. Like, he knows how to get a crop. Right? He knows how to get a crop. He knows how. And it's not even all about that. If you never produce fruit in your life, don't worry about that. It's about being loved. It's about being loved. Because if you're trying to be loved so that you'll produce more fruit, then there's just like weird, twisted, selfish motives in there. And you're still trying to be good enough. Like, sometimes it's like, maybe just don't try to do all the great stuff today and just say, God, I obviously don't have this, but I trust your love for me. And that produces, like, I've walked in purity and in an amazing walk. I'm not bragging, but man, I haven't struggled with a lot of things that I used to struggle with. And I've walked in a way that's extreme, like, I so desire, and I believe that I'm like him, and I'm becoming more like him as I awaken to the truth about who he is and who I am in him. Walking in righteousness and purity and forgiving myself when I slip up, it's becoming so easy. Like, it's becoming so easy. I don't read this Bible and find a bunch of rules and it's like, well, you better love your wife. It's like, I want to. I want to do that. Don't steal. I don't want to steal. Oh, my heart's different. I don't want to do that. And if I have a moral lapse in judgment and I slip up, he's like, I paid for that. That's the whole reason I came. Let's just get back up and keep going, buddy, because you're making out with a witch. Oh, yeah, gross. Yeah, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, show me how this is a witch. Show me how this is rotten maggot food. Because my whole life I've thought it was good food, and I've never experienced love in the way you've shown me love, and I need to see the way you see so that I don't have death produced in my life because I don't want to hurt people. You know what I mean? Like, this stuff is a heart thing, man. He didn't come to give you a list. He didn't come to make you follow these rules. He wanted to transform you from the inside. They had a list for 1,300 years, and it killed them all. Yeah, I keep going. Jesus, thank you so much for today. Peter said I could go over a little bit, actually. I'll put this on Peter. He's like, I'd be okay if you went over a few minutes. So, Jesus, thank you so much for Peter's words. As he can take all the blame, Lord. Thank you for your grace. No, Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you're revealing the truth about who we are to us. You're revealing what obedience looks like. You're revealing what it's like to avoid the maggot buffet. You're revealing what it's like to have true intimacy with you, Lord. You draw us in. You draw us in with your love, with your kindness, with your goodness. And our heart's natural response, like my daughter's natural response to generosity, was to be generous. She wasn't suspicious. She wasn't thinking that there's some ulterior motive or he's going to ask for something. She trusted, Lord. So we're learning to trust you more, Father, as you've given us your heart. Thank you that we are eager to grow and to awaken more and more to the grace, the purity, the simplicity of your kingdom, of your gospel, Lord. And I just thank you for all my friends here, all my family. I'm going to be with you guys forever. Like, that's so crazy. Like, we're going to be together forever. Thank you so much for my family, God. And Lord, I just ask that you would continue to raise us up, that we might bear your name and impact this town, this province, and this nation. In Jesus' name, amen.